Now we have our sermon text going back to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and we'll read verses 1 through 8 and ask if you're able that you stand as we read God's holy word. This is the word of God, our only rule of faith and practice. Psalm 34, starting at verse 1, and we'll read to verse 8. And that's on page 543 in your Bible, if you have one of the Bibles on your table. A psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in, or blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened up to us the way of blessing through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us now as we consider this psalm, as we consider this song that came from the heart of David by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you are the author of this psalm and that you are present here as we consider it, as we read it. And so, as you are present, would you please illuminate our minds? Give us light to understand your word. Give us understanding of the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ and the good news of blessing that comes as we trust in, as we take refuge in you. Help us now to understand and believe and be saved and to grow in your grace and your knowledge. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so this morning, our sermon title is Blessed Though Distressed. Blessed Though Distressed. Now, I'm not sure. I think the bulletin might say distressed though blessed.
No.
It is blessed though distressed. Good. Because our emphasis is not on the distress. Our emphasis is on the blessing. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the good news, that our God desires to bless those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he does. And so we're talking about being blessed though distressed, how to thrive no matter what. How can we thrive in this world no matter what? Because everyone experiences a bit of trouble, trauma, and tragedy. And if you don't believe me, just keep living. And it will find you. Amen? Everyone it has their own share, their own fair share, it seems, of trouble, trauma, and tragedy. And we see that in our scripture lesson. Here come these 400 men who are distressed, they're in debt, and they're discontented, and they come out to David in the cave of Adullam. And sometimes we're in distress, and it seems like we're in a cave. But that's a good time to turn to the Lord for refuge. You know, if everything went well, and we got everything we wanted, we gained the whole world. The Bible says, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but then forfeits his soul? And somehow God uses these trials and difficulties to show us our need for him. Amen?
Amen.
So as I was saying, David was brought to the end of himself. He was in trouble. He was in distress. Someone was hunting him down, literally. And so he turns to God. And so in this psalm, I think we see a pattern for how we can trust God through life's most difficult times. Amen?
Amen.
And so how do we find the way of blessing in the midst of painful situations? How do we do that? Well, we need to take refuge in God. The word translated to take refuge or trust means to flee somewhere for protection. And so if you can imagine that David is fleeing to a fortress or fleeing to a cave where he can hide and not be found, even more so, we're able to flee to the living God and be safe. And so if we flee to the God who created anything, who's going to be able to attack us there? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one, really. And so let us take refuge. Let us trust the Lord fully to save us now and forever. Amen?
Amen?
And so we will be blessed no matter what when we take refuge in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We will be blessed no matter what when we take refuge in the Lord. And why do I say that? Well, God's Word says that. In verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. And he is good to those who trust in him. Blessed is the man who trusts or takes refuge in him." We will be blessed no matter what when we take refuge in him. And so we have three things that we want to do no matter what from this psalm. And there are actually more than three things to do. There are actually 22 things to do. Because this is an acrostic psalm, and so each verse comes from a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet is shorter than our alphabet. We have 26 letters. In Hebrew, there's 22 letters, and but I'm going to give you three things. And so these are the ABCs of blessing. The ABCs of blessing. The first one is always praise and thank God. That's A. And then B is boldly pursue God. We want to boldly pursue God. And then lastly, we want to confidently prove God. Confidently prove God. Let's look at the first. Always praise and thank God. And in Psalm 34 says, "I will bless the Lord when? At all times, always. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So when is a good time to praise and thank God? Always. Always. Right now and continually and forever. You know, that's what we are created for. We were created to praise God. What does the catechism say? What is man's chief end, or what is man's primary purpose? Man's primary purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, it's not true just because the catechism says it. It's true because God's Word says it. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of somebody. God! Do all for the glory of God. And it's true that man is created to worship. And everybody, even unbelievers, worship something.
Yes. Yes.
They worship something. They may worship science. They may worship the state. That's statism. They may worship material. They may worship money. But none of these created things are worthy of our worship. However, the Creator is worthy of our worship. He created us. He's worthy. And He's also a Redeemer, because He knows that we've sinned and fall short of His glory, fall short of worshiping Him. So He has provided a Savior and a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're created to worship Him. We're wired for worship. And so why not praise the one who created us? Why not be used in the way that God created us? It's like a car is for driving. It's for transportation. You know, if you use it for something else, then it's not according to according to its design. I can use this phone for communication, or I can use it as a paperweight. I guess it does kind of good as a paperweight, but that's not what it's created for. I could use it as a weapon, but that's not what it's created for. It's created for communication. It's the same thing with us. We were created to worship God. That's what we should be about. Amen? And who alone is worthy of our highest praise except God Himself? And so it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. This is a community activity. Let us exalt His name together. Amen. So let's always praise God. That is the way of blessing. Another aspect of the way of blessing is that we boldly pursue God. We boldly pursue God. And we see that in verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him. What are you looking to in this world to save you, to help you, to strengthen you, to give you hope? What are you looking to? You know, we can look to a lot of things to try to make us feel better, to try to fulfill us, to try to satisfy ourselves, but satisfy us. But those things are not going to do it. We need to look to Him. And when we look to Him, we will be what? Radiant. Who wants to be radiant? Look to God. Look to Jesus. Give me Jesus. Amen? And so we boldly pursue, we boldly seek the Lord. I sought the Lord and He heard me. And so if you're having difficulty, if you're having trials, if you're having a testing, seek the Lord. Turn to Him. Cry out to Him. This poor man or this afflicted man. Have you ever been poor or afflicted? Are you a poor or afflicted man or woman? What do? Cry out to the Lord. And guess what? He will hear you. Amen? This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of a couple of his troubles. Does it say that? Come on, Bible students. What does it say? Saved him out of all his troubles. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
All. I need to hear it too. Because, listen, I'm the same as you. I have the same kind of heart. I have the same struggles. And I need to believe God's word. That it's true. What God says is true. His promises are all yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then verse 7, I love this one. The angel of the Lord encamps. Where does the angel of the Lord encamp? Well, he encamps in front. And he encamps in back. And he encamps to the right and to the left. He encamps all the way around. He surrounds his people with protection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? God's word says it. And so we must believe it. And Lord, give us grace and faith to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, who is the angel of the Lord? Well, in my Bible, angel is, it's got a small A, but in the footnote, they have a capital A. And there's a good reason why in the footnote there's a capital A. And the capital A has to deal with divinity.
Yes.
That the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is none other than the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what that is what theologians call a Christophany. An appearance of the Messiah in the Old Testament before the incarnation, before the Word became flesh. At times, God would take on the form of an angel or of a man at different times in salvation history. For example, three men came and spoke to Abraham and told him about the birth of Isaac before it happened. And three men told him about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that was going to happen. And then Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. And then when Joshua was about to fight against Jericho, the angel of the Lord appeared to him on the mountain. So there are a number of times when the angel of the Lord shows up in the Old Testament, and this is pointing ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who hears us. He is the one who delivers us out of all our troubles. He is the one who encamps around us, we who fear Him, and delivers us. How could Jesus become our Savior? Well, Jesus, when He lived, He came to earth. He went about doing what is good, what is right. He went about teaching the truth of the gospel, teaching that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not die eternally, but have eternal life. And so whoever believes in him can be saved. And so I urge you to be a part of the whoever. I urge you to be part of the people who cry out to him for salvation. Jesus, please save me from my sin. Jesus, please save me from hell. Jesus, please save me from my troubles. But the biggest trouble is an eternity separated from God. And that's what our sin does. When we sin, the wages of sin is death. And so we deserve death. I deserve death because of my sin. But what Jesus did was he went to the cross to pay the penalty that I deserve. He took the toll. You know, someone can... If you get into an accident, let's say, and you total a car, well, you're responsible to pay for the repairs of that car. It may be $1,000, it may be $1 million, you know, depending on if someone's injured. And what happens if you don't have it? What if you're uninsured? Then guess what? You end up in jail. But let's say that we had been in an accident and we were about to go to jail, and then someone comes and says, you know what? I'm going to pay for the damages. I'm going to pay the $1 million. You know, that's what God did. God paid the damages that we caused because of our sin. And the way he paid it was through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so he's the substitute. The substitute in my place. And if you believe in him, in your place. And so that's how we can take refuge in him. That's how we can flee to him for protection. And so I urge you, if you haven't yet done that, that you would flee to him today. And so we want to always praise him. We want to boldly pursue knowing God. And lastly, we want to confidently prove that God is good. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Good. God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. Amen. And that speaks of two things. God, in who he is, in his essence, in his attributes, he is good. And so that's what he's like. He is thoroughly good. He's good in his being, his wisdom, his power, his holiness, justice, truth. And he will always be good. He's not going to be good today and then bad tomorrow or capricious tomorrow. He's always going to be good because that's who he is. He can't change in his goodness. And he will always be good to his people.
Amen.
Always. And so Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean that all things are good, but it means that he's going to work those things for good in our lives, even evil things, even the working of the devil, because it's God's devil. And so God even uses the devil for good in my life.
Yes.
And so when he does what he does, what does that do? Well, that chases me to God. it forces me to go to God for refuge. And so I flee to Jesus. And I listen to the word that says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I trust in God's word. And I quote God's word. I believe God's word. I trust the promises. I pray the promises. And so God uses even the devil for his glory and for the good of his people. And then another passage. Should we always give thanks? Yes. Ephesians 5:20. It's a good memory verse if you like to memorize scripture. Should, if you don't yet, you should gain a taste for memorizing scripture. It's good for you. Ask me how I know this. So Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things. What should we always give thanks for? All things. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And so let's always give thanks for all things. Why? Because God is going to work all things for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so we do praise and thanks God always because he's good to us always. And so we confidently prove God or confidently taste and see that he is good. Now our problem is, and this is quoting Elizabeth Elliot, we want to avoid suffering, death, sin, and ashes. But we live in a world crushed and broken and torn. But we also live in a world that God himself visited to redeem. And that's what we see throughout the Old Testament. God visits and redeems his people. God comes down and brings deliverance. All through salvation history, you see that. And then you see it in the culmination of salvation history with the coming of Jesus to redeem us from an enemy too strong for us. We receive his poured out life. And being allowed the high privilege of suffering with him, we may then pour ourselves out for others. That's from Elizabeth Elliot. And isn't it true that what we receive, what we taste, we want to share with others? Yes. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And also, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I want you to have this blessing too. And so we tell others. And so that's why we're having this invitation Sunday, because we want to invite people to taste and see and to prove and experience along with us the goodness of God. And we see that also in the rest of the psalm, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything that I need. Amen. Amen. And then also Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You have a need? Guess what? As you turn to and trust God, he will supply what you need. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, the provider. In the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Oh, taste and see. that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And so, beloved, let's go to the Lord Jesus. We will be blessed no matter what as we take refuge in him. Always praise and thank God. Boldly pursue knowing him and confidently prove and taste the goodness of God. How blessed is the man, how blessed is the woman who takes refuge in him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for so blessing us. And thank you for sending your Son to save us. Thank you for that angel of the Lord who encamps all around those who fear you, and you deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, from the evil one. And we look forward to the time when you will come and gather all your people to yourself, and there will be no more trials, no more trauma, no more tragedy. We'll be with you forever in heaven at the heavenly wedding feast. Lord, help us look forward to that day and cry out to you, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.